opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Semper Fi. Good evening, and welcome to Man Up with Perry Crimmins and Carl Vine. Our third member is in Wisconsin shooting pheasants. And I've been on that trip with him a couple of times, and it's it can be cold back there. And he flew into, I guess they're having snowstorms and everything back there.
I imagine with Wendell, they're pretty deep into bourbon by now.
No, it probably could be. They're having their own bourbon testing as we're going. See, when we go there, if you've never been to Wisconsin, my friends, we fly into Chicago, and we get a car and drive up to, where the university is. Anyway, I'll look that up.
Madison.
And one of our friends has a house there. He grew up there, and he has a house there. So you've got a three-bedroom house with, like, seven or eight guys in it. And the but it's downstairs, and there's sofas and, you know, hideaway beds and cots. Everybody's in there. And the but the one thing I learned when we arrived, and we stopped on the way up, is cheese curds.
Oh, yeah.
They have cheese curds like we have chips and salsa. I'm not kidding you. And every place says their cheese curds are the best. But you get a lot of cheese curds back there.
And they're darn good.
They are. They're too good.
Yeah. That's one you eat the whole bag for sure.
Yeah. And it's a, bring it out in plates and dip it in ranch.
They're from scratch out there.
Yeah, this is not in
bags.
They
make them from scratch.
They do. Good morning, or good evening, David. Dave is here, our producer. He just comes in at night.
I like Madison.
Madison, I tell you, it's when we were there, it was during COVID, and everything was shut down the first time we went. Everything was shut down, and we walk into one of the downtown taverns, right there, across the street from the university. It was us. And we come walking in there with camouflage on and all this. We've been hunting all morning. And they were so happy to see us. You couldn't believe it. And they had to stay open, I guess, but there may have been another person in there. They were so happy to see us that they just brought out cheese curds, and then we ordered all types of, I'm sure it was good, nourishing, healthy food. No, we didn't eat one thing healthy.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that's what you do when you're up there for the 4 or 5 days, is that you eat cheese curds and all those things that aren't good for you, and toast each other.
Well, that's what guys' trips are about, right?
It is. And then we hunt 2 days, and we're there 4. So day getting in and the last day getting out. So.
Yeah, I think, man up. That's what it's all about.
That's what it is.
We all need to do more trips like that together. And just, reinforce each other.
You got it. So what have you been doing, Perry? It's been a couple of months since I've seen you.
No kidding. It's just, it's been, well, heck, I think 3 weeks of that 2 months was like cabin fever with all the rain we've had in these stints.
That's
crazy. We'll take it for sure, but we sure like it when it comes in spurts instead of, 3 inches in 24 hours.
Well, we've had the fog. We had then the rain, and then heavy rain. I can't tell if my dog's alive. He's laying under the table.
Buford, hey.
Oh, okay, he's alive. He's just resting. Yeah. Okay.
He obviously is. He's got his paws over his ears. He doesn't like what we're saying.
Oh, he's playing now. He's doing his famous only trick right now. I'm not even going to say what it is.
Nope.
It's the only trick he can do, and he does it all the time. In front of, people comes up, and Buford shows him his trick.
But it's been kind of a slow winter, really.
So, have you been hunting at all?
I hunted a little bit, but as you can imagine, that kind of weather shuts things down a bit. There's a few creeks we have to cross. But, we got on this kick of homemade dog food for a while. And
I was over there with Ted when he was grinding up moose meat.
Yeah, I gave him the recipe for homemade dog food.
And he's throwing the fat in with it, you know, like, I guess it's bacon fat or something, or some kind of fat. You have, yeah. Because the meat's so lean.
Yeah, you gotta re-add some fat.
And then he, he was making, and then he gave me about 2 or 3 pounds of, moose burger.
Oh yeah.
Which is
wonderful.
Very good.
Yeah, it's really good. But, so I went out and I shot a pig and mm-hmm. whipped it with Ted and, made it into dog food. And I thought, well, I'll get one I can actually manage. You know, so I got one about 125 pounds, so we can actually drag it around and cut it. Ended up getting, about a little over 40-pound yield of dog food.
Okay.
And with my 3 dogs, when you figure it out, it's about 2.5 weeks worth. So
your dogs are...
So I went out...
His dogs, as you walk toward the front door... They know you're coming, and all you're hearing is baying, like, you know, like hounds do. And they just, and all of them.
Yeah. And then
don't come in the front door. Yeah. Come in the side door.
And then when you get in, they bark because you don't give them enough attention. They love you.
Yeah. Right. And then they come over, and then, Hey, did you watch the Olympics at all?
I selectively watch the Olympics.
Yeah, yeah.
And
we do the same thing.
And I did. Yeah, and there's a few sports that I enjoy. The speed skating I like.
Yeah.
Especially the short course stuff. That stuff is.
And
like,
I tell you what, those people.
It's like NASCAR for sure.
You see that one wreck where that it was either a guy or a girl got her face cut from another skater's skate.
It hit,
and I can't remember if it's a male or female, but whatever it was, got them, and they were blood everywhere on the ice. Luckily, they weren't, you know, wasn't like at the neck or anything, but it was in their face, and they got cut.
And they probably got right back up and went again.
No, those are the hockey players.
Oh, the ones with and I like hockey, so I watched the women's and the men's.
I watched the women's. I was very proud of them and the goal, but they've been taking that gold medal. They're a pretty strong team.
They whip people.
Yeah, I know. No, they do. Yeah. And of course the final gold hockey match for the gold, I should say, with the Canadian men. And so now, you know, the country at that point was together.
Yeah.
But give it a couple of days. And so what do you hear? You hear people calling the hockey team monkeys, pet monkeys. You hear this stuff. It is just incredibly stupid. And, you know, and you think, why? You know, these guys were so proud. These guys are
young.
They're young and they're millionaires.
Yeah.
But they, to a man, said how proud they were to represent America, and gosh, it was the greatest thing, and all this, and then to see these comments afterwards.
No, you know, we
pathetic, pathetic.
Yeah, but every one of them, I watched their interviews with Brett Baer, Hannity, all those, and they spoke like, so genuine.
Yeah,
and they acted like they were. You know, teenagers, and that was the first trophy they ever won.
I know.
You know?
and the other thing too is when they came up from blue collar families. I would imagine there may be a couple that didn't, but I would imagine most of them came up through from blue collar families that sacrificed because their kids were good at hockey. And two of the brothers that played
The Chuck brothers.
The Chuck brothers. Thank you. The
fighters.
They could not. Yeah. Their family couldn't afford for both of them to go to hockey camp. So one would go, and then the next year, the other one would go.
Yeah.
And then, and the Chuck brothers, when we went out, when we played in the, you know, the Four Nation one, and the Canadian crowd booed.
Yeah, there were 3 fights before the hockey match even started.
The first 9 seconds.
Yeah.
First 9 seconds, 3 fights, and guess what? The Tkachuk brothers were in 2 of them.
Yeah.
And then just watching, I mean, the Canadians too, I mean, they're all pros. And when they lost and they handed them that silver medal, there was no smiles.
No.
And when they handed them the little plush toy, whoa. The fact that they just didn't end up right there on the ground. That's okay, they showed restraint.
Yeah.
Anyway. But then to read these things that Americans are saying about our hockey team, you know, it's pathetic.
Yeah, you can't.
It's pathetic drivel.
Yeah. You can't be anything but genuinely patriotic over that. Anything to do with the Olympics have gotten so politicized, you know, and it's a shame. You know, if you don't want to go to the Olympics and participate in your sport for your country,
then you shouldn't go.
Give it up. Give it to somebody that actually does care about the country, you know.
And guess what? The Olympic Committee pays. What we used to is all total amateur. Now, you know, the athletes are being paid. They're being trained, you know, so they can train and they get the best training, the medical, everything. Mm-hmm. And then to, you know, go, well, I'm just not proud of, you know, very, you know, my country. I mean, they didn't have to say that.
No, they didn't.
They didn't have to, but they did. Yeah. And then my favorite, though, so far is a Representative Kelly. Look this one up for me, David. It's a female, and her name's Kelly. And she described the State of the Union like this. Oh, look at this. Oh, you get a medal, you get a medal, you get a medal. And I'm thinking, lady, that's the Medal of Honor you're talking about.
Yeah,
do you have any concept? How, you know, that one fired me up.
It should.
And it should fire up everybody that a person is that literally stupid. And she is. She's stupid. Yeah. And to say something like that, oh, you get a medal, you get a medal, you get a medal. Like, making fun. And I felt like I've never hit a woman before in my life. And I would her with my truck. I'm exaggerating there. But when you hear something like this, do you have any concept of what you just – I just have to believe they have no concept of what they just said because they're so ignorant.
I get choked up just watching the last guy they gave the one to, the 100-year-old guy that flew it through all these missions and never got anything for it. And the guy that flew the helicopter got shot 3 or 4 times and still landed it. That guy, I don't know how he stood there, how he did, just so militarily, right?
Oh, yeah, because he's still screwed up. His leg.
You can tell.
And the other thing, too, that Medal of Honor was, like, in record time also because the medal is so important that it can take two years for it because it's got to have witnesses. It's got to go through, like, 12 boards because it is so special.
It's special, yeah.
Yeah, and then that one young man from Coast Guard who rescued 122 people.
Yeah.
Oh, when the floods hit, you know, this whole thing was. But then to see what she wrote, said, I wish I hadn't even read it. Did you find her?
I found commentary on it. I was looking for actual quotes or something.
Those were kind of the quotes. But what's her name?
Yeah, it was Kelly.
Kelly, but I want to know what state she's from. I will bet you it's not a red state.
Absolutely not.
Anyway, hey, we have to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Here's the liver next. Devil dogs and jar heads. Paris Island in July. Never leave a man behind. A Marine for life.
Unique homes. Uniquely placed. Uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you, like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
Premier Oil Change is celebrating 20 years of our friendly oil changes. A lot has changed in 20 years, but our commitment to fast, friendly, excellent service has remained the same. To celebrate our 20th birthday, we're offering $20 off any oil change. All you have to do is go to our website at premieroilchange.com and receive your gift. In Reading, check out our new location at 905 East Cypress. Discount also available at our Lake Boulevard, Anderson, and Palisadro locations.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Hi, I'm Dr. Marie Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. My focus is to help people feel better, look better, and take control of their health with a simple, life-changing plan. It starts with smarter eating choices and adding the right amount of protein to support gut health and reduce inflammation. You'll also receive weekly accountability coaching, a free guide, and a complimentary consultation with me, Dr. Maria Salas. Ready to feel your best? Call or text 530-227-3984.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Welcome back to Man Up with Perry Crimmins and Carl Bott. Our third, Ted's back in Wisconsin. I didn't realize he was living today. I was just with him yesterday. And he's shooting pheasants, among other things.
Yeah.
He's also probably doing shooting bourbon, too.
Shooting bourbon.
Welcome back to the show. We were talking about the Olympics. And this. What was the name of the representative, Dave?
That was Representative Kelly, Robin Kelly, Democrat from Illinois.
Democrat from Illinois. Okay.
Yeah, the disrespectful.
Obviously, an honor graduate of her high school. You know, ignorant. Yeah. Here's a medal.
Yeah.
Here's a medal. Anyway, okay, enough of that. Let's move on.
yeah. But anyways, it's hard to move on from the hockey team because it was just so good.
Yeah. And that kid, or that young man, Hughes. Did you see him get high-sticked?
I don't know.
Yeah, he gets high-sticked. Not on purpose, but...
Yeah, it's just part of the game.
Part of the game. Loses his left front tooth, or broke it in half.
Yeah.
A lower tooth, and maybe another tooth. And he's bleeding, laying there, and they get him up, take him back in the locker room. Now, I don't know what the dentist did. We probably shot him full of Novocaine, or whatever they do. Here he comes out again.
And he hasn't had time to fix his... Even though the doctor said they'll fix his tooth, like yesterday, he went back to New Jersey for an NHL game.
Yeah, he's playing in an NHL game. You know, these guys are tough.
They're
and,
tough.
And that's, but, you know, the people want to politicize things that are said because these kids were, these young men were so proud to play for the country. Every one of them said it. Proud to play for our country. And people find fault with that. You know, it makes you, you know, have we slid to the spot, obviously we have, where you have to denigrate
our country.
Our country and our athletes who skated well above what was expected. I mean, at one point in the game, the Canadians had them down two players. So it was, what, 5-on-3?
Yeah.
And for two or four minutes. I mean, yeah. It was long, and they couldn't score.
You know, I read a few things that people are like, well, the Canadians clearly outplayed the Americans. They were the better team. And I'm like, well, here's my thought. So the USA got like 28 shots on goal. They scored two.
Maybe 28. Okay. Yeah.
They scored two. So the Canadians got 42 shots on goal, and they made one. So are you better? I mean, surely we had a good goalie. There's nothing about that.
Yeah.
But the fact you got 42 shots on goal and can only hit one doesn't say a lot about yourself if you want to say who was better.
Yeah, but if you looked, if you looked on paper. Yeah, if you looked on paper, but guess what? You take the paper and you just throw it out.
Yeah.
Because it comes down to who's skating on the ice and who's willing to give themselves up, like Hughes and our goalie.
Oh,
who just happens to be one of the best in the National Hockey League, but has always said, people said, well, you know, you can't win the big one. Well, whatever he was on,
he won the big one.
He won the big one. And the thing about it is the Canadians had it was an open goal. And the guy, when he hit it, somehow
reached back and hit it with his stick.
He broke every law of physics. And he caught it and twisted somehow. So that the Canadians' goal didn't go in. So then you have to ask, well, oh yeah, on paper they had a better team. Yeah, but just, what was the score? What was the score again?
Who won?
Who won?
Yeah.
Anyway, yes, we are unabashedly proud of our men and women. Our women's team are just tough as nails too.
Went to overtime, both of them?
Yeah, that's right. And then, what's her name? Lou? The, one that, the, skier? The figure skater
that won.
Now they were complaining about this because people were, you know, so happy and cheering her, and they're saying, wait a minute, she's liberal and she's from San Francisco, you can't just steal her like that, you know, the conservative types. And I'm thinking, oh,
who cares?
Who cares? She, did, you know what? She was proud of what she did, as rightly she should be.
You know, I'm not that guy that watches all the figure skating, but I watched,
Linda likes it.
But I watched the couples dancing.
Oh my gosh.
And it looked like they were connected by a string, literally, for three minutes.
Yeah.
And they were flawless. They won. They won the gold. But, I mean, afterwards I said, Julie, you need to watch this. These could even, not even a flinch.
Well, then the quad god, Ilyich, who was, everybody thought he was a shoo-in. I mean, he had the highest scores, came apart in his. Mm-hmm. But here's the best part. After it happened, he dropped to like eighth, and the young man that won, it was like Kajikistan or Kazakhstan or something like this. Nobody expected him to do that, but he had a flawless routine. He gets the gold medal, and what happens? Ilyich gets up. This young man gets up who had everything he worked for gone. Goes over to the winner and puts his hands on his shoulders, you know, and you could see him just talking earnestly to him, and the guy's hugging him and all this. Yeah. Just the, I mean, such great
camaraderie.
Well, great sportsmanship. I mean, and so, yeah, I enjoyed the Olympics.
Yeah.
Oh, biathlon, I thought you'd like that.
Yeah, but
were there skiing and shooting?
Yeah, but like Norway or Sweden always
wins. Oh, no, Norway's kicking butt at
them. Yeah.
They want more medals ever, but.
Yeah.
Imagine this, you're skiing 15 kilometers, and you come wheeling in there, and you're shooting offhand after just coming roaring in there.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, bink, 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 bink,
this
bink.
Is nothing.
No. He gets all five, puts it back on, he's off. And you get other ones who are coming in there. Yeah, they're lucky if they're hitting three.
No,
so
that's a cool sport.
That's, you know. To be able to, you know, it's one thing to be shooting in the prone, which they do, but to come up and shoot in the offhand, wind's blowing, they've just been skiing.
Your heart has to be racing.
Yeah, your heart's got to be going bum, 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 bum. And then to shoot, hold that in there, and you know how hard it is to shoot offhand anyway, at larger targets.
Yeah.
They are, and these aren't like 10 feet away, like 50 feet away.
Yeah.
So. I would demand larger targets. Could I have one the size of the table right here?
Agreed. So, but yeah, no, it's the Olympics don't seem to get the covers they used to. You know, people would actually go home at night and watch the Olympics because it was on whatever ABC or NBC or something before streaming. But we're so scattered nowadays, and we can watch it later if we wanted to. And we just got, and it doesn't seem like there's as much push behind it. But we'll see. The Summer Olympics are coming to us.
Well, I think probably the Winter Olympics doesn't appeal to as many people. Oh, and then the article that was written about the Norwegian team not being diverse enough. I fell on the ground. I was laughing so hard. Yeah. Well, there's like 2% people color in Norway. Yeah. And
your
choices are kind of limited here. And, yeah, so.
The media has nothing better to do.
They have nothing better to do except try to cause division.
It's like California legislators. They just have to have their name on a piece of paper.
Which we're going to talk about when we get back about reintroducing the grizzly bear. And we'll be right back.
And it got a bad rip in New Orleans, with Packenham and Jackson tugging at its seams. And it almost fell at the Alamo, beside the Texas flag, but she waved on, though. She got cut with a sword at Chancellorsville.
Unique homes. Uniquely placed. Uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor, Oliva Melano Maduro. From the verdant fields of Jalapa, Nicaragua, comes an epic 95-rated cigar, wrapped in a Maduro leaf from San Andres. Expect notes of espresso, anise, and walnut liqueur. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
A message from Todd with Redding Online Marketing.
Here's the truth. Your competitors aren't smarter and they aren't better. Their marketing is.
Redding Online Marketing has years of experience and results backed by real data to put you on top. For maximum impact, ask about exclusive KCNR radio and digital marketing packages. Put your business everywhere your customers are.
We are local and can answer all your questions. Call me at 530-378-4060 or visit RedningOnlineMarketing.com.
The only real estate agent I trust right here in Redding and Shasta County is Josh Barker with Josh Barker Real Estate. Now, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
Now, for someone that needs to move quickly or something like a job transfer, well, what steps can you take to make sure that their home gets sold fast and for the most money?
Sean, that is an excellent question. We actually have three ways that we'll approach that. One is we actually as an office have what's called an instant offer. So if you need it sold fast, we can do it really fast. But the truth is if you want to maximize your selling price and get done quickly, then it actually means that you're going to want to sit down, identify a marketing plan, talk about what to do to prep your home for sale, and then be really clear on two things, your time frame and the price. Because those two things merging together is ultimately going to equal your outcome. So having that kind of conversation in advance will go a long ways.
All right. Thanks for keeping us up to date. Go online to ReddingHomes.com or just Google Josh Barker.
North State Park's annual Celebration of North State Wine is back with another panel of fine wine with award-winning wines served by the North State's best wineries being held at the newly remodeled Holiday Inn with fine appetizers by their new chef. 20's theme is accented by Lady Bot and the Bluebirds on stage. 20's attire is suggested. This event sells out every year, so don't miss the fun. Saturday night, March 7th at the Holiday Inn. Tickets can be purchased at pcpark.org.
Join me, Dr. Lauren, on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. behind the pink mic for breast cancer conversations about prevention and diagnosis to healing stories and words from expert guests. Behind the Pink Mic is proudly sponsored by Sizzle's Kitchen and Swell Endeavors. Tune in with Dr. Lauren every Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and streaming at KCNR1460.com. Behind the Pink Mic, let's talk healing, hope, and community.
Hey, welcome back to Man Up with Perry Crimmins and Carl Bott. Ted's back east hunting pheasants. Tomorrow on our show, Josh Barker is going to come on and talk some real estate. But we may have Steve Hilton on the show at 7 o'clock, running for governor. They're saying that it works out, but, you know, you never can tell on their schedules like that. And so he may be on at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. But he is guaranteed he's going to be on the show. We're just trying to find the right dates. And when I threw out tomorrow morning, because I had a guest that couldn't be here, they said, yeah, that sounds really good.
And it sounds really good.
You know, so we'll see. You know, we've had Bianca on, and I'd love to have Swalwell on, but I just don't think he's going to come on the show.
You guys can work out afterwards or before.
Yeah, you know, I have... Anyway, I'm not going to say that. hey, you know, we're the senator down, and I talked about it this week, but the senator down in a little spot in L.A., she's got 985,000 constituents, but it's a small part of the L.A. basin there. Down there, you know, away from the woods, and you know, they may see green belts.
Right on the ocean.
Reintroduce, I think it's 1305 or something like this, Senate bill. Wants to reintroduce the grizzly bear to California. Now, this is a study, and they're going to see, well, what kind of impact would that have on people and animals? And it's kind of like, but well, I can tell you what kind of impact it's going to have. They become the apex predator, and they do anything they want. Yeah. And so, but you know, Perry, that they are not mountain animals.
No.
Those are valley animals.
Yeah.
And
look,
so
look at their expansion from Glacier National Park going south.
Yeah.
And what's south of Glacier is Idaho and Wyoming.
Yeah. Well, if there's places in Wyoming, people don't want to buy property because of grizzly bears are out there.
Yeah.
And, you know the difference between black bear scat and grizzly bear scat?
What's that?
Well, black bear scat has got blueberries and, you know, things, you know, blueberries and maybe a little fur or something like that in it. Grizzly bear scat has, hiker's bells that they wear when they're hiking to let the grizzlies know they're in the area. And half eaten cans of bear spray.
For seasoning.
Okay. Ted told me that yesterday.
That's a good one.
Anyway, so, I mean, they haven't passed, but they want to do the study on it, just like they did about the wolves. You see where we are now. But you are teaching seminars. I didn't realize that until a couple of minutes ago. You're teaching seminars on wolves.
Yeah, it was, you know, for the last few years, we do some stuff with some ranchers to the east. And this fall, we went up there to help them out on a hunt. For one of his clients, and he's got a huge ranch, 13,000 acres. And it's the first time in probably 10 or 12 years I've been to that ranch and not seen a cow. So normally he would have minimum 500 cows on that ranch.
Yeah. And where was this at?
Up in Fall River.
Okay, Fall River.
Yep. And so we went up on a Sunday. On Saturday morning, there was 12 wolves in the field.
Oh, my gosh.
So he can't keep cows because, I mean,
if they don't kill them, what they do is they get them so nervous. They are moving all the time. They can't keep the weight on. They abort their
calves.
They're
just not healthy, yeah.
And it's, you know, it's not just killing them, which they do.
Yeah, they just traumatize them.
They traumatize them where, because we have raised cattle genetically to be docile. In many cases,
we work them with dogs.
You work them with dogs. But you know, to be more docile, where they're not, you know, they don't have horns in most cases, and you know, So when you get wolves out there who are, they are very, very, very efficient in what they
and,
do.
And hunting in, you know, multiple killing. Numbers. You
yeah.
know? And that people think that the, well, they're killing the calves because the calves are vulnerable. No, because what happens is the mama cow will protect the calf. So what happens is these wolves have learned to carve out the yearlings, you know, the
yeah.
500, 600 pounders.
Yeah.
And they're single and they run. That's exactly what they want.
And
a little
they,
bit of sport.
And they know? Take them from the rear.
They take them from the rear.
And they will eat them alive from the rear, starting yeah. with the anus and working their way up.
Yeah. yeah. It's brutal for sure.
It is brutal. And yeah. you know, please don't let us turn you off on this. But that's just what happens. And the, so what are you teaching?
Well, identification for one, mm-hmm. you know, but basically it's just to know that wolves are here in California and, you know, they started out in whatever it was, 2007 with OR.
Yeah, OR, you know, what?
17 or whatever it
yeah.
is. Yeah. But, and then he was gone for a few years, came back and brought a bunch with him, apparently.
Apparently brought back dozens.
Yeah.
Which some people might think, oh, those could be wolves that were introduced by humans out of these wolf, you know, wolf protection units or,
yeah.
or wolf rescue units. And all of a sudden one came, became like 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
but you would never say, no, people wouldn't do that.
No, there's no conspiracy theories.
No.
But anyways, there's, you know, currently we're looking at 10 confirmed facts. You know, you can go on the wolf map they have on California Fish and Wildlife site.
Yeah. yeah.
They'll give you locations of the wolves.
Not the exact locations, though.
Yeah,
they'll just give you the.
Well, not the exact day.
Yeah.
You know, it's a 2-day delay.
You can see, yeah, you can see where they are.
Yeah, you can
and
see
you can
where
see
they are.
They're heading toward your ranch.
Yeah. And if, and the idea is to kind of give ranchers a heads up, but is it really the job of the rancher to go out and haze these wolves so they don't, and they've tried that. They've tried the hazing, it doesn't work.
And they bring dogs out. And unless you've got your own pack of dogs, they're going to take down those big guardian dogs because there's so many wolves.
Yeah, they just kill, and they do kill to kill. You know, if they're not killing cows, they're killing sheep or goats or you know, something like that. But we probably have in the neighborhood of 150 or better wolves in California right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if you figure out the math of how, you know, capacity works and, you know, if they have, say, 7 cubs a year and then 4 of those live, you know, because they have a mortality rate, too. You know, they're still 40 or 50% mortality. But, you know, when they get to a certain age, they break out on their own. They start another pack.
And they're chased out. Yeah.
They're the other males. And so if that pack grows by, say, 15 wolves a year and we have 10 packs, kind of figure those numbers out. And then 15 becomes 30 and 30 becomes 60. 60 becomes 120. Before you know it, we're just like Yellowstone when they went from, you know, the introduction of 90 wolves to, you know, they're at 5,000, you know, and the capacity was supposed to be 2,000 maximum, you know. And every state over there is hunting them now, just, you know.
Yeah, Idaho hunts them, Wyoming hunts them, probably.
Well, Wyoming, there's not even a license for them.
That's right. And then Montana hunts them. Yeah, any places. Well, you look on the, on the east side of their mountains there in Wyoming, their elk herds and deer herds are gone. And then, so where do the wolves go? They go after your cattle. And the study they did 2 or 3 years ago was 80% of the wolf scat was deer.
Mm-hmm.
2 years later, 80% was bovine cattle.
They figure in California, and this is from the biologists that actually do the study, they go out, when there's a wolf kill, they have to go out, examine it, check the scat, make sure it was a wolf kill, then they can, you know, the rancher has to fill out a bunch of paperwork and he gets some money from the state. As long as there's money in the fund. It runs out pretty fast, if you can imagine.
Colorado ran out, had $6 million in their fund and ran out in 4 to 6 months.
Yeah. Colorado's having problems. Their wolves are just dying of old age after just a year or so.
Well, the thing is, you know, they say, how many, you know, the government's really strong on how many cattle you can have in an area. Oh, you're going to have so many cattle because they're going to, you know, tear up the environment, which isn't true. And, but you can only have this many cattle in an area. this many wild horses in an area, and they've completely blown that one. So how many wolves? What, you know, do we have 500 wolves in California? Is that the magic number?
Yeah. I couldn't tell you, but,
California,
California is not the same as anywhere else, because what happens in California is we have the mountains.
Yeah.
From the mountains, we go right into our urban sprawl. So as soon as any predator leaves the mountains, it's into domestic livestock. Yeah. You know, whether it be pets, and there's so many hobby,
ranches.
Livestock people now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, raising their own food, whether it be goats or sheep or a cow or two or custom cows. And that's the first thing the wolf sees, you know. So what is it going to do? It's going to try to eat it.
Well, we've got photos right here in Redding of mountain lions being on somebody's deck.
Yeah.
And they took the picture, and there's the, Sundial Bridge in the background. That would, to me, is kind of going out. There's bears in people's swimming pools. I mean, how long is it going to be? And it's going to be horrible.
Yeah.
And one of the ranchers that was on the show said, it's horrible and don't want it, but it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, so what happens?
Somebody.
Yeah, what happens when you have a three-bedroom, two-bath house and your family grows to, say, seven people? That's pretty crowded, right? So if your family gets to 10, you're looking for another place to live.
Yeah.
That's how wildlife works. If you're in a given space and you're looking around and there's way too many folks eating your stuff, you're moving on to find a better place.
Yeah, you want a place where you can feed and breed and have pups.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what they're all about.
Yep. Okay, we're going to take a quick break right here, and we'll be right back after these messages. Perry Crimmins, Carl Bott, this is Man Up.
Unique homes, uniquely placed, uniquely yours. Service tailored to your lifestyle. A global network like no other. Exceptional heritage. Pioneering expertise. With an eye for detail, we see what's special. From rare gems to modern masterpieces, every home is one of a kind. Like you. Like us. Discover your one of one.
This is Chad Phillips, owner at Shasta Sotheby's International Realty. Please visit us online at ShastaSIR.com.
Heart disease is the number one cause of death for women, claiming more lives than all cancers combined. This February, during Heart Month, Shasta Regional Medical Center encourages you to listen to your heart. Heart attack symptoms in women aren't always dramatic. They can be subtle: shortness of breath, nausea, unusual fatigue, or pain in the jaw or back. If something feels off, don't wait. At Shasta Regional Medical Center, the only accredited chest pain center in our community, we're here for you and your heart. Your health matters. Your heart matters. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Hey neighbors, have you ever wondered where you can find a store that truly feels like home? Well, look no further. Grange Co-op has been community-focused since 1934, and guess what? We're not just a store, we're owned by customers just like you. Yep, that's right, it's all about community here. So why choose Grange Co-op? When you shop with us, you're not just supporting a store, you're supporting a community. Grange Co-op has what you need for your home, garden, pets, and farm. Grange Co-op, where the values of yesterday meet the needs of today.
Experience a wintry mix with the Shasta College Symphony Orchestra Saturday, February 28th at 7:30 p.m. at the Shasta College Theater. Enjoy music from Verdi and Beethoven and more, plus a melody from My Fair Lady featuring the outstanding winners of the Emerging Artist Solo and Area Competition. This special concert is sponsored in part by Vituity Anesthesia Reading. Tickets and information can be found online at shastacollege.edu/events. The National Wild Turkey Federation's 27th Annual Redding Chapter Hunting Heritage Banquet is set for Saturday, March 14th at the Senior Citizen Center at 2290 Benton Drive. Doors open at 4:30 p.m., dinner at 6:30. To purchase tickets for the event, or if you'd like more information, contact Candy Muse at 530-526-8350 or online at nwtf.org/event.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Planning a wedding? Celebrate the moment with a free dinner for two at Odell Craft Barbecue. With our slow-smoked brisket that melts in your mouth, even Texans say it's some of the best they've ever had. We cater events and weddings of all sizes, from intimate gatherings to receptions of 1,000 guests. We make delicious food and great service, so you can stay present with the people who matter. Odell Craft Barbecue, real wood, real fire, real flavor. Book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com. Again, book your free tasting at ReddingBarbecue.com.
Welcome back. Man Up with Perry Crimmins, Carl Bott. Ted's on the East Coast hunting pheasants this time. Okay, what is kleptoparatism? Did I say that wrong?
Nope, you said it exactly right. And this lends itself right into that grizzly bear conversation, you know.
Uh-huh.
And the wolves and the coyotes, just the predation period that we don't harvest here in California. We don't even have hunting. So they actually had to, our bear population has gone so far through the roof, the northwest corner from Redding to Eureka to Redding to Medford. That corner has the highest bear density in the
United States.
In North America.
Okay.
Even Canada.
Oh, even in Canada.
Four bears per mile. And
wow.
Yeah, they're figuring now there's between 55 and 70,000 bears in California. So what happens is they had to invent reestablish a new word, kleptoparatism. And what it is a mountain lion goes out and it kills a deer for food. So that mountain lion eats part of the guts, some of the organs, and, you know, it doesn't eat a lot in one helping. And then it buries its prey that it harvested. It comes back the next day or 2 days later, whenever it's hungry again, right?
Yeah, and eats for like a week or something.
Yeah,
like
it eats, eats one deer. Traditionally, mountain lions kill a deer every 4 to 6 days, something like
that. Yeah.
So, but anyways, now the mountain lion leaves before it can get back a bear, a wolf, a coyote, whatever comes in and eats that deer. And the mountain lion is out of food, so it has to go out and kill another deer. And then so on and so on. So that's detrimental to our deer herds. But apparently they did a study, Fish and Wildlife, from what I understand, that it was either 25 or 26 lions. Out of that many, one defended its kill from a bear or another predator. They didn't win, even though they defended it. The others just moved on and re-killed. So they're figuring with that, there's probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 to 6 times more deer being killed by mountain lions than traditionally.
Well, I totally believe it, because bears have a tremendous sense of smell.
And they are eaters.
And they are eaters. But they did that study in Yellowstone about why the elk herd was dropping. And they thought it was the wolves. And then they found out that, no, it was bears that were coming in, that were moving off their traditional range because their protein source had disappeared. And it's a long documentary, but it's absolutely wonderful. It's like the serial killers of Yellowstone or something like that. But they could find the calves that were being hidden that wolves and other predators couldn't.
Because they don't have a smell.
Yeah. And, they don't give off a smell, but the bears could find them, and they were killing off the calves. Mm-hmm. And it kind of has a good ending, but that they got they changed some things and get the protein back into the, you know, it was a fish. The whole thing was a fish thing. Anyway,
But our bears.
So now we've
too.
Got bears. So now we have the largest number of bears in North America is from our town to the Oregon border to
the ocean.
To the ocean.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And if you know that country, it's pretty dense.
It's a pretty dense country.
So yeah, it is, bears can live there without being bothered.
And, you know, you're not going to see them because very rarely do people really go back up in there. Mm-hmm. However, because there's food and there's nothing hunting them, they have their little bear or two bears, sometimes triplets. When there's lots of food, they have a tendency to have
more cubs.
More cubs. If there's not a lot of food, they have less cubs.
And here's the other equation, capacity. You know, if these bears keep propagating and growing, they have to go somewhere when they run out of real estate, you know.
Yeah.
And out of that corner, where are they heading?
Reading. Medford. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and then because when they changed the laws on hunting bears, I heard that there's like 70% less hunting of the bears, which then is there to keep them at a manageable population.
Yeah, they have a quota every year of like 1,700 bears.
Yeah,
they shoot. We harvest about somewhere around 800 bears of that 1,700 every year. So there's 900 that aren't getting harvested every year. And of those 900, if 400 are sows and they're having two cubs a year, start multiplying that, you know. And why wouldn't they just take the bear season? Because Fish and Wildlife, in their defense, is looking for a way to harvest more bears. But they just can't get the legislation or the commission to approve anything. You know, they tried to get hound hunting reapproved. They tried to get hound hunting for mountain lions just for hazing, you know, not even for harvesting them, just to make them afraid of
humans. So that they will stay away from the cattle herds.
Yeah. And all the other western states, you know, they have a spring bear season. You know, why wouldn't you, if you have a quota of 1,700, why wouldn't you just say, okay, the bear season's open until you fill that quota? You already have laws that say you can't shoot a bear this weight. You can't shoot a sow with cubs. You know, so just hunt them until the quota's filled, you know. And, it just doesn't make any sense.
We're in the frenzy of, we're still, living with Bambi and when they did that wolf get-together to see if they were going to make it endangered, you know, so many years ago. I talked to the guy that was taking the notes from the meeting. He said it was the craziest meeting he'd ever been to. He said people were walking in dressed as wolves. Their kids were dressed as wolves. Their babies were dressed as wolves. He said, as soon as I saw that, I said, uh-oh.
We're in trouble.
We're in trouble. Yeah, because he was a retired fish and game guy. And he knew what would happen, but it didn't make any difference. So
now the big bad wolf really is the big bad wolf.
It really is. Okay, so where are you going next?
Well, I'll be over in Reno next week for an expo they have, a sports expo they have over there.
Mm-hmm.
It should be fun. And then from after that, actually, we get back and we're doing, as you know, our NWTF youth turkey hunting is kicking off. And,
I know.
You know, we have 21 kids this year.
It's 20 to 21 is usually what we have.
Yeah, and it's a good group. Yeah. We had our shotgun clinic last weekend. The rain held off for us. It's always fun, you know.
Oh, yeah, it is. They learn how to act in the blind. They learn about calling turkeys and all this kind of stuff. I think Ted and I are going to go out one day.
Good for
you. Turkey hunting this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a shotgun that Linda and Ted got me.
Oh.
And it hasn't been. I don't even know if it's been fired yet.
The turkey gun?
Turkey gun.
Yeah, there you go.
I've got a lot of turkey shells.
There you go.
They haven't been out.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's time.
It's
and I got a friend up in French Gulch. He's got a herd of turkeys. Not a flock. It's that big. And I said, yeah, just, you know, maybe I'll come up and let me, you know, set up against a tree or, you know, a blind. And he goes, just sit on the porch.
Yeah, no kidding. Huh?
And I went, no, that's, I can't do that.
Yeah. We don't want a house in the background.
Yeah, I don't, when they tell you, yeah, but don't kill Sadie. Don't kill Stan. Okay. Like, you've got names for them?
Oh, jeez.
No, I'm just kidding about that. Well, buddy, it's good seeing you again.
It's always good.
I need to have you come on our morning show one day. Let's talk about klepto what?
Parrotism.
Kleptoparrotism and talking about this because it's been a while. It's been a while.
The predation in California is so out of control that our we call it desirable wildlife, desirable game.
Sure.
You know, deer, elk, turkeys, you know,
yeah,
ducks, whatever. They eat everything. The predators, they eat everything we want to harvest and eat.
Yeah.
You know, so it's we can live together with the predators, with the wildlife, and
of course, nobody wants to wipe them out. It's just we've got to be able to establish, you know, but where they're, it's a healthy thing for both sides.
Well, we need manageable numbers, or else they'll be managing the homeless for us.
Yeah. Hey, thanks everybody for joining us. So it's, like I said, tomorrow morning we may have Steve Hilton.
Yeah.
Last thing I heard was but. I don't know. That was this afternoon, so things can happen.
I'll be listening, hoping.
Yeah. All right. Have a great evening, my friends, and God bless America.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.